by an intellectual problem, even the way the Torah describes it, that any simpleton can understand it, okay? I mean, we know it's much deeper, it was a deep metaphysical problem, but the surface, the way the Torah describes it on the surface, that any person can understand it, is simply, Asura the Haine Asne Bar Ba'esh, Vasne Nenuko. Causality, it's a problem of causality. How could this be? Where's the cause? Asura Noveras Amara Godlaze, Madua Lo Yivarasne. He couldn't understand the causality involved in what he was witnessing. So does that appeal when you think back to the other system, okay? The infantile system. Is that a great person? He's following simply his intellectual curiosity. Why should a person like that be rewarded? Why should this be the grace? He's not doing anything, coercing himself to do anything for God. He's not coercing himself to do a religious action. He's simply involved automatically, spontaneously, in pursuit of knowledge, of an idea. Okay? Doesn't fit into the framework. Does not. In Yahadis, the perfection of man does not fit into that model, that mold of, as I said before, of the teacher and the student. This would not be considered great. Great would be a person that's saying, great, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself all the to go and to do for Klal Yisrael. That fits in. But not the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu when the Torah describes his intrinsic greatness. Okay? Doesn't seem like greatness. What is so great about a Talmud Chacham that sits by a blot of Gemara and just has an intellectual desire to understand, and he's enjoying himself all day long thinking about how these ideas work? Okay, he's curious about Kachim. What's the system? How does it work? What are the halachas? Okay, what's the philosophy? What's the halachas? How does the whole thing work? It's simply an intellectual curiosity. He's enjoying himself for a whole day. Does such a person deserve a reward for religious activity? It just doesn't fit in. Okay? So the whole yesod of Yahadus is that the scaffold, the basic structure of what we intuitively feel is religious, is completely false. Completely wrong. And it's easily disproven. The biggest mitzvah is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam. As a matter of fact, a person that's osik in Talmud Torah is pater from all the mitzvahs. He's pater from tefillah. He's pater from other mitzvahs. Okay? How could it be? Why? Because he's caught in an intellectual trance? I mean, what is so great about that? Tell him on the contrary. Remove yourself from that trance which you're enjoying so much and go and help somebody. Go do something. But Yahadus does not hold that way. It's just the opposite. The only guy sitting in his room enjoying the ideas, endlessly involved in the ideas and the problems and the sugyas and shas, when in Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, in all areas of shas, this is the greatest Oved Hashem. I mean, it doesn't make any sense on the basic primitive level. The whole Ashkafas Yahadis denies that completely. I mean, that's what Yahadis, that I would say, is probably the greatest demand of Yahadus. To abandon the whole framework, the infantile framework of Schar V'Onesh. To abandon it. The question, how is it water? It's not my fault. Has nothing to forget about fault. Fault is not the motivation of Yahadus. The motivation that Yahadus gives man is perfection and living in line with Chochmah. That's what Yahadus offers man. Yahadus is the benefactor. It offers man an unbelievable kind of existence in life. And forget about the primitive notion is one which a person must rise above. Of course, a person has responsibility, but the responsibility in Yahadus really hinges on the objective system. In other words, if a person has the opportunity. What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Rei Nasaf Nechem Hayom, Esachayim Vesamavis, Vacharta Bachayim. If a person has the opportunity and turns away, who's he responsible to? Himself. It's stupidity. You see, the whole system revolves around a different concept and framework. You see, that is what's difficult about Yahadus. And that's why the Umos HaOlam could never embrace Yahadus. Because they can understand a subjective idea of sin, but they cannot understand an objective idea of faith and an objective idea of perfection. I mean, it's one is you have one, you have the other. They're both two poles. One is the perfected life, and the other is the totally imperfected life. That really is the thing which the rest of the world could never understand. That's why really Yahadus remains a mystery for the rest of the world. You understand what's going on? The Talmud, this, that. You see, they had to resort to only, and you see what they did. I mean, basically, they resorted precisely to the pasuk. That's, I mean, to the highest degree. I mean, by yaseh kisav nesish kisafar asav mashavas bias. I mean, their avodah zarah is mamish ish. It's the worst, most primitive form of avodah zarah there is. In terms, actually, Christianity, which I know, and you know the sugyas, Christianity, which people want to say the Rabbeinu Tam is a big mistake in Rabbeinu Tam. Chaim pointed it out that people want to say Rabbeinu Tam holds that a guy is not over the Vazor Kasa Shutaf. It's a misunderstanding of the basis. But philosophically, Christianity is the worst Avodah Zarah, mamish Avodah Zarah. Worse than what the Navi describes. Worse than the Rambam describes. There's no question about it. In terms of the person, how far a person is from God, that is the most distant a person can be. Okay? Since that is the case, then you understand what it means. Odom min mekom kaparaso nivra. What it means is, of course, it doesn't make any sense in the infantile subjective frame. You say to God, what did I do wrong? But it makes a lot of sense in terms of the objective system. In other words, that a person has to recognize that he is an instinctual being overcome by instinct. This idea must be clear in his mind. That is his nature. And if he caters to that side, that element in his nature, and lives according to that element, then he's a chotei. The idea of men, that's why it's not a question of saying to God, it's not my fault. That's the childish framework. It's a question of reality. The reality is that since the instincts of man are so powerful, he had to be created from a place where he would always be aware, recognize, realize what chait is. If he doesn't have that realization, then there's no way for him to ever live properly according to the derech hachayim of the tzel, that the tzelem halekin requires. Do you understand what I mean? That's the concept of odom in kom kaparoso nivra is really the very basis of Yahadus. What it means is, that is the objective. There's an objective system of faith. Not a subjective one, an objective system of faith. What is the objective system? The objective system is when man lives in line with the instinctual and doesn't recognize the idea of kofer nafsho, that he's a creature that unless he is aware of the self in a way that is different than his self-awareness, which stems from an emotional source, he's hopeless. What the halacha states, what Mizbeach tells man, is essentially one thing, that the one area where he will be totally wrong is the area of self-evaluation. If a person's self-evaluation is simply based on the way he feels about himself, his inner sense of awareness, then he is destined to be a chotei. The only way he can get out of it is to recognize that he needs kapara, that those very feelings about the self are false, because those very feelings stem from the instinctual. The nasnu ish kofer nafsho, that means the person must recognize right away, I have a certain sense about what I am, and that sense about what I am makes me feel good about myself. Okay, makes me feel good about myself. That's completely wrong. That kind of awareness is nothing more than a physical awareness. It's a result, ultimately, of the biological part of man. That's where it ultimately can be traced to the biological aspect of man. But the kofer v'nasnish kofer nafsho, that's exactly what it is, v'nasnish kofer nafsho. It means you must recognize that my very existence, my very state, this is where the tzelem elokim must rise above the instinctual and must give him a correct view of himself, and that is that all these feelings are really nothing more than they come from the danger zone, and I have to recognize that intellectually, and I have to give kofar, because any kind of assessment about myself is going to be wrong unless I overcome that sense that I am a good person and naturally feel good about myself. I don't need kofar because I feel very good about myself and I feel that I'm a virtuous individual. But the person has to be able to override that, and that's the concept of Adam and Kom Kaparaso Nivro and Venosnu Ish Kofar Nafsho. The idea that a person has to recognize what he is as a being, as a creature, and that is a creature who is, every move is always permeated by the instinctual, especially when it comes to self-evaluation. That is the most dangerous area, the self-evaluation that comes from the psychological sphere. The psychological self-evaluation is wrong, and the only way that a person can do it is to remove himself from himself and to look objectively at man, study man objectively. When he does that, he realizes that unless he is aware of his instincts and he sees he's a bria shvela v'afela, if he's not aware of that, then he can never succeed in terms of the derech ha'chaim of Yahadus. That's Adam and Kom Kaparaso Nivro. It's an interesting thing. What is in Karbonis? Yesterday we read Vayikra. So somebody asked you, which carbon would you have first? What would you say? The order of carbonus, which one would you put first? Chatas. Okay? Person with a chote has a bigger carbon. That's what you think of carbon, what do you think of? You think of carbon chatas. Oh, it's very nice. It's in the double. Okay? But what does the Torah bring first? Daba b'nei Yisrael amat aleim, Odom ki yakriv mikim korban lar Hashem, im ola korbano min abakar. The first carbon the Torah brings is carbon ola. Why not carbon chatas? You're a sinner. So you want to remove your sins. I mean, that's the instinctual. You know, I don't want to be a sinner, so I'll do something to undo my state. I feel guilty. I feel sick. Let me do something to get rid of this feeling. See, that's the emotional. But you had this place first, carbon ola. What is carbon ola? So the Ramban says. Ramban says that carbon ola, what's the purpose of a carbon ola? Ramban says, V'risi ba'goda b'vayikra rabba, Tani Rav Shimon Yechoy, Ein ola bo, el al hihuri alev. Hihuri averis alev. What is that? Can anybody be free from hihuri averis alev? It's virtually impossible. It's impossible. Personally free from that, because it's constantly, the machinery is constantly working. It's virtually impossible. Okay? Amar Shlokesh Mikra Molihu, Va'ola Ruchachem Hayolosia. Ha'ola Mechaperis al Ha'ola Ruchachem. Okay? So you see, V'chein Biyuvoma, V'hela Olos Mispakun, Kamar Yiv Ulai Chotu Bonayu, V'uvercho Lakim Bilvavam. Okay? He's angry at God. Hada Amar Ein Ola Bo Al Haruri Alev. Okay? So you see that the carbon ola, what is the carbon ola? That is the first carbon. The first carbon is something which doesn't involve a misdeed, a transgression. It involves his very state, his very self. That's the first carbon that he is. Because unless you have the carbon ola, then all the carbonas are nothing. And then you're lapsing into the primitive state, and on the contrary, whatever you do is going to be worthless. That's what the Navi says. You bring kabbonis to God, and you think that you're putter, or that Yitzhak Hashem, Zvachim, Mishma, B'kol Hashem. It's not this idea is the primitive idea. So Yahadus demands that a person understand the Torah would have been saved by Yikra, Vayikra Moshe Dav Hashem Elav Me'ol Mo'ed Lamor, was to set forth the whole plan that people should be able to understand. You're taking people out of Mitzrayim that were steeped in the most primitive state, so So the first thing was to remove them from that state and to show there's a different system. And Moloch HaBonim HaTzom. What do you need? You need to recognize V'nasnu Ish Kofra Nafsho. That is what has to be. That's what man has to understand. A way of thinking about himself that's outside of the intuitive. Outside of the intuitive way of thinking about yourself. An objective way of thinking about yourself. A person thinks about himself objectively. He knows the truth is Minkom Kaparasa Nivra. He needs Kofra Nafsho. He needs Kofra Nafsho when? Every minute of the day he needs Kofra Nafsho, basically. Because it's Kol Ola Ruchachem. It's every minute. Ki Yetzer Lev Odom Ramin Urov. V'chol Machshavos Libo Rak Rak Kol Hayom. That's Odom. How does Odom get out of that? Only one way. Through Chochman, through recognition that is his nature, that is his state. That's the only way that he can remove himself from the intrinsic inherent pitfalls of that kind of thinking, which is part of the intuitive. That's the answer. Okay, question that Donnie raised, the Chazal. I mean, it's a problematic Chazal. There's no question about it. That if a person gives tzedakah manas sheyichya b'ni, so Chazal say raise the tzedakah. I mean, Darshanim already had problems with that. Dealt with that Chazal. You know, the Darshanim say that what it means, it's derech drush. I mean, I'm not saying that this is the real truth, but they say what it means is that if you give money to an ani, so you're not allowed to feel that you're the benefactor. Again, you know, the Chazal says, Yosa mi ma shabalabayas osa la ani osa la balabayas. Okay? So the fact is the benefactor is really the ani. Because the person that gives the tzedakah is really gets more out of it than the oni gets out of receiving it. Yeah. So the Darshanim say that. What does it mean? It means like this. It means that if you give money to an oni, so the tzedakah says, so you make him feel bad. So you make him feel bad because you make him feel like you're the benefactor. You say, I'm an ashi yichya b'ni, so he feels good. I'm doing it myself. So you remove the psychological pain of the ani. They say, I raise the tzadigama. That's the way. That's darshanim. That's drush. But it's good drush. It's good drush. Because it happens to be true. It happens to be true. That a person should not get stuck in a way that he makes the ani feel bad. Yeah. Yeah. What Chazal really mean by that statement, in my opinion, I mean, I haven't been to the sugis for a while, but I think there's a couple of sugis discuss it. Yeah. So, what they mean is that it means to say that it's talking about the Kedusha of Kol Yisrael. It means, Chazal say, that a Jew is on a certain level from Shmiras HaTorah, that even though he says, Amanas Yechya B'ni, he still really means to give it as tzedakah. Chazal say, that's what I say. Goyim, when they say, Goyims, I will say to them, what'd you do? They'll say, oh, we did this, we did that. And God will say, no, you did it for yourself. So, chesed lumachatas, okay? But the Jew, even though he may have an ulterior motive, but down deep he's really giving it for the true reason of sucking his tzadigama. Okay. Okay, but I'm not here to. I'm just speaking of the concept of tinok shen nishbis does not fit into the framework, and there's no question that we cannot fit it into the framework, and we admit readily that we can't. It has nothing to do with our avodas Hashem at all. See, that question is only a question if you accept the primitive framework, because that's an essential question. But once you deny the primitive framework, it's a question about how God runs is Dan Olamo. I mean, how God has done his world. I mean, that's not a question for man. It simply has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our mode of operation and function. That's the most difficult thing. Because everyone always, that's the big question. That's what they want to say. I mean, what do you mean? It's not fair. Fair is an idea that's based upon our own intuition, something ingrained in us from situations that we live through in early life. That is not something that we use when we're thinking philosophically. How is it possible? It's not fair. That's God's world. You see, you'll notice something. It's an interesting thing. What are you giving me, Dos? You're giving me Dos, okay? So you think, what did Moshe Rabbeinu receive? He's waiting. He's asking. I mean, the biggest revelation. Harinos Kodecho, no. Harinos Rechecho, yes. It's an amazing thing. So you take a look at it. Shem Hashem Karach Mechai. Say you're giving me Dos all the time. What is really astounding about you giving me Dos? There's something there that's extremely important. I mean, you think you'd expect something else, and most people it falls on deaf ears. Okay, Shem Hashem Karach Mechai, very, very nice. What does it mean? The essence, and the Rambam says you give me Dos is basically chesed. All you give me Dos, but that's the whole idea. So what is this important concept that Moshe Rabbeinu received? What's the opposite of the intuitive? Because the intuitive, when a person looks at life, he feels there's injustice. This person's sick. This person dies. This Russia's matzliach. This tzaddik suffers. All the things that everybody asks, all these questions, okay? What did Moshe Rabbeinu receive through Nevuah? Hodi'eni Dos Terachecho was Arashem, Arashem, Kel Racham Vachanon. That's all false. It's all based upon the fact that you don't have the ability to give such a judgment. But if you understood, like Moshe Rabbeinu understood, you'd see that there is only Racham Vachanon. That's all. Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed. That is the reality. And the reality that you perceive, or you think you perceive, is completely false. That's your Gilmidus. That really is that's your Gilmidus. And that's why, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu? He said that, B'shoah Shechotim Bonai, Asu Lefonai Kaseder Hazeh. Kaseder Hazeh means that where's the godless Adam? The godless Adam is when he can recognize that the thing that seems to him so sure and so simple and so clear based on his intuitive perception is completely false. Because he would never say, Hashem, Hashem, Karach Lachanan. He'd say there's difficulties, there's problems. How could this be? How could that be? So it means, B'shoah Shechotim Bonai Asul Afonik HaSeder HaZeh means if you deny this feeling that you have and this sense that you're so right about how to judge the world, and you realize that it's completely the opposite, that if you really had insight, you'd see, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanan, Erech, HaPayim, Rav Chesed, V'emes, and it's the highest chesed, and a chesed which is far greater than our concept of chesed. If a person accepts that, based upon his intellect, because he knows that the Nevuah is true, then he has kapara. Then he has kapara. That's the kapara. The kapara is to recognize that our perception, our understanding, is based on the intuitive. We are not in a position to judge the universe, judge the world. There's only one Dayan. There's only one Dayan Emes, and we have no concept even of entering. We can't enter that whole arena. What we can enter, what God gave us, was not that kind of a thing. He only gave us the result, which is the conclusion. Hashem, Hashem, Kan Racham Achanan. But what he gave us was an unbelievable Derech HaChayim. That's where the person recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not when he places himself as a judge and in terms of what he thinks is just and not just. There is completely wrong. There is not a shred of injustice exists in human affairs. It's all Racham Lachanan. That's Yigimah Midos. So, again, you see, Yahadis makes recourse to the same concept, the same idea, namely, that where is Kapara Sa'odam? Kapara Sa'odam is in denial of the thoughts and the conclusions that stem from our intuitive makeup, not from a real analysis of Chachma. Can any person say that he analyzed the world, he analyzed people, and he knows that this person should get this and that person should get that? If a person says that, they think he's a Meshuggah. They think he's crazy. Anybody knows that. But yet, it's the most powerful force in a human being. Because somehow or other, he would never say it openly because it sounds too stupid, but he feels that he knows. He feels he knows that this is an injustice and that he's sure about that. You ask him, he wouldn't say it because it's certain things the person doesn't say. He recognizes it as an objective statement. It's silly. But that is the whole Yisod of Yahadus. that kapara begins with a denial of what we're so sure about, not because of chachma, because we don't have any. We know we don't have chachma in that area, but because we feel very strongly about that. You see, we feel very strongly. That's Yud Gimel Midos. Shem Hashem Karach Lachana. This much I'll tell you. If the Torah would have given a carbon for mezid in general, I mean, not Kamas mezid, but in general, the implication would be, again, totally primitive. You did something against God, now do something for God. You can undo what you did. That's the whole primitive system. That's it. You see? Shogeg, the idea of shogeg is a profound idea. Because the idea of shogeg is that you think that you're innocent. But the truth of the matter is, why did you slip up? Why? Because one part of you really doesn't want to, does not want to do it. But you, one part or another, you're not ready to do an outright fight, but you're ready to fool yourself into thinking that you're innocent. I innocently did this. I mean, the fact that the Torah singles out shogeg, not only over here, but you see the whole parsha with shogeg with rotzeach. I mean, it shows you that yahadus is a very deep system. And doesn't just let man off so simply. See, yeah, it was a shogeg, but just a second. What happens in shogeg? In shogeg is where the instinctual part of man's nature is coming to the foreground, and it's blocking out the intellectual, and really the desire is pushing through on a level where it thinks it can escape culpability. It's, man is fooling himself in shogeg more than in mezid. The mezid man isn't fooling himself. He's a Russian. He's an outright Russian. In shogeg, man is fooling himself. So that's why Yahadus singles out, on the contrary, the kabbonis, the fact that the kabbonis are for shogeg is directly in line with what we're saying, basically. That Yahadus sees man in a deeper way and recognizes that he doesn't want to. Shogeg means you don't want to recognize your chait. That's what about shogeg. Mezid is a different phenomenon. Mezid is not fooling himself. He decided he wants to be a Russia. That's a different kind of a problem. That kabbonis is not going to work. But korban and kapara is where the person is following the intuitive. That shogeg is the perfect example of the intuitive. Following the intuitive. He didn't do anything wrong. He just happened to take the piece of a chalev instead of the piece of Shumon. I mean, that's exactly the case where man is fooling himself. So kabbonis fit in line precisely, the system of kabbonis, with this idea, with this concept. Yes? Straight through, of course. It follows straight through. The nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and his rejection, his refusal, 7 days of refusing. I mean, why? This would be the ultimate thing. To go, God's asking you to do it. A person would run to do something. The average person, and the average person, even people today who are respected, even Rabbanim, I mean, this is unbelievable. They'd be overjoyed to do this. That's the Mashiach phenomenon we have. That's the same thing. That's what it is. It's rooted in the primitive. The same thing. It's the exact same thing. That's what I said. Moshe Rabbeinu is just the opposite. Exactly the opposite. He refuses. The Torah is when a person just thinks about it, and I'm not talking about deep things, just thinks about on the surface the material that the Torah gives, you just think into it a little bit. It is very amazing. Very amazing. Totally different than anyone would intuitively present ideas like this. It goes against the intuitive. Against the intuitive. The amazing thing is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu composed the Torah, it's in a way that somehow or other, in spite of that, the average person can feel a relationship to it, even though he's not on a very high level. But the moment you start thinking about it and looking into it, I mean, immediately you see that it's a completely different system. I mean, I'll give you another example. If you want to know the difference between the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and our system, I mean, the Sefer Bereishis is really devoted to showing that the system of Yahadus is completely different than any other religious system. I'll tell you, other religious systems, if you take a look, Lahavdil, at the Christian Bible, I mean, There's no life experience there. There's nothing. Just one simple thought, you know. Just do this and that, and you're saved. I mean, basically, that's it. And you have this. There's life experiences of Yaakov Avinu, and they're not just sitting in a corner and be misbowel. I mean, when the Achim came back and they saw the Tzoros Kaspeim, was of a Yetze Libom, Vayechadu Ishalachiv Lemar, Mazar Sosola Kimono. When Yaakov Avinu, when they came to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu was upset, he was worried, he was concerned, take the Nechoz Velot and then go to the man and give it to him, appease him, a whole realm of function, a realm of working within the experience of life, not just say to him, not just a simple, simplistic answer. No, there's no simplistic way of life in Yahadis. The Sefer Bereishis shows the Avos, and especially Yaakov Avinu, and his life experience, how he treats everything with where a person is in the spiral, where he moves, where he maneuvers, where he uses chachma, where he's worried, where he's concerned. Not just a person like a simpleton's idea of betachin. What was he worried about? Have betachin, everything's going to work out. Not so pasha system. Is that what the case? When he told the story, Yaakov was so worried about with Yosef and with this and the brothers. Have betachin and that's it. Don't worry. That's not the system of Yadis. The system of Yadis is one which demands great chachma, and it's essentially, it maintains that there is a reality in our existence of interaction on a realistic plane. Yadis recognizes how you interact on the realistic plane, and when you maneuver within the framework, and it's not a tata de sasri to be within the framework and to be close to God. But what other religions try to do is to take man out of the framework and into another safe zone. That we don't have. And the stories in the Torah are the events, the accounts in the Torah are aidus to that fact, because what is simplistic view? What are all these problems? Nobody has any problems. Very simplistic formula. It's not a simplistic formula. In Yahadis, it's the world. There is a world that the entire challenge for man is to work and live within the framework of interaction. Even all the great individuals in the Torah and Tanakh, basically, you don't find a portrayal of great people like somebody just sitting in a room alone. It's an interesting thing. Even though, of course, you had this hold that the highest level is Chacham Tzur. But what is it? David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, how they interact within life situations. The Chachmas HaTorah is there to give you a Derech HaChayim, not to escape from life, but to recognize that is the challenge in life. The interaction between man and his environment, both physically and also socially, and living according to Derech HaChayim. That's David HaMelech. The whole Godless Adam is portrayed in those terms. Because that is what Yahadis is all about. It's not an escape from the Derech HaChayim. The Derech HaChayim, the normal life, the normal existence, is the plane and the sphere of operation and function. And Yahadis gives a person, it arms him with Chachma, and shows him how to deal with it, and how to look at it in terms of reality. When he's in trouble with reality, he doesn't say, yeah, this is nothing. He knows there's a problem here. He believes in causality and the natural law, and simultaneously he relates to God. And it's not a tata de sasri. That's the difference of Yahadis. It's evident from the portrayal of throughout the Tanakh of the great people of the Tanakh. The idea of Gamzul Tov is a very simple idea. The idea of Gamzul Tov is another idea that the Torah teaches us, and that is that a person has a tendency. There again, it's counterintuitive. See, a person has a tendency in life to think that certain events that happen, they feel, why did that have to happen? Why did that have to happen now? You see, that's not a person. Again, if you'd ask this person, you say, do you really think you understand all the things, all the events and how they happen and what exactly the cause and effect is in long terms, in the scheme of things, in the objective scheme? Nobody would be an idiot to say, I do, right? But yet the person always feels, ah, if only this didn't happen. Ah, could have such a good time. This wouldn't have happened. Everything would have been so great. You see? There again, man caters to... That's what Rabbi Akiva said, really. Rabbi Akiva said, that's the story of Rabbi Akiva with the chamor and the whole story with the crook and thieves in the night. What he showed was, you don't know. You really don't know. You think this is a bad event. This may be something which actually is very important in another way, which is more important than the loss that you perceive. Okay? And any person who lives through life with chachma, see, if you live through life in the intuitive, you're never going to see it. Because you're always going to be in that little sphere, okay? When something immediately is good, you're going to feel happy. Something immediately is bad, you're going to say, and that's your whole life. But if you live a life of chachma and you think about it, you think into your life experiences with chachma, and again, that's the challenge for man, the yahadis places before man. If you do, you'll think and you'll see certain things that you were sure were really terrible, and you'll see later that if they didn't happen, you would be extremely unfortunate, okay? And I'm just talking about most people don't think that way, because they just think about the immediate effect, that they react. But if you use Chachma, and basically it follows through what I'm saying, that the Sefer Bereishis and the Tanakh is all to teach a person to use Chachma in analyzing life's events. Don't look at this little, don't react to an effect. Look into and examine. And people think there's no purpose in doing that. There is a very big purpose in doing that. Because if a person is honest and has hachavas adas and has a mind and he sees and he analyzes events in his life, you'll see that so many times certain events you thought were horrible events, that they were the most important things that ever happened to you. Okay? At first sight, you thought they were bad. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's what Rabbi Akiva says, don't jump so quick. Kol ma doma gamzul tava. Gamzul tava means, it's not that you should have an infantile idea that no matter what happens to you, gamzul tava. What Chazal are trying to tell you is that don't rush to an intuitive conclusion. Don't rush to an intuitive conclusion. When something happens, you should be sort of like, in a limbo. Could be, don't be so quick to make a judgment. Don't make judgments based on the intuitive. Wait a while. That's the story. Wait until the morning. You saw that it was different. It's a mushel. The mushel is, sometimes the morning is a short morning. Sometimes the morning could be many days, even many years. But in the morning, you'll see that it's not like you thought, and the fear was just an emotional reaction. Al tir mi pachad pisam, v'shor v'shrem ki kisavo. Utsu eitzav v'sufa. What does it mean? It means to say that when Rishoyim mount against you, it's frightening, it's very scary. Emotionally, you think you're going to be defeated, but you have to realize that's just an emotional reaction, not based on reality. If you use your chachma, if you use an eitzah on a chachma, these people are operating under purely under aggressive emotions. And it's also the ruch. But because they're operating under aggressive emotions, they really, in a sense, are very vulnerable, because they're not operating with chachma. Utsu eitzah v'sufa means, but if you resort to the way the Torah teaches you how to live and use chachma, so then they could be defeated. As Dor Melech and Goliath, same thing. You get carried away with emotions. Frightening to see Goliath, powerful warrior. But Dor Melech saw one thing. This man's not working with Chachma. So this is just a fear, an emotional fear. He didn't cater to the fear, and he defeated him with Chachma. That's really what Yahadis teaches a person. It teaches a person how to really live in the trenches. Live in the trenches. That's what it doesn't tell a person, run away to Rome and just be mispalel and everything's going to have betachan, everything's going to be all right. That's not what it is. The preparation, tefillah dor mochama, means to say, how do you work logically in the sphere of the human plane, the human sphere of action and activity that confronts you on a daily basis in life? That's what Torah teaches. It's worse for a simple reason. Christianity is worse for a simple reason, because if you study the other religion, for instance, Hinduism. Hinduism is really without a doubt of what it's are, no question about it. But you'll see that they do make some kind of an effort to understand human life. They do make some kind of an effort. I mean, they recognize that there are problems that you have to resolve. You see, they go into some kind of psychology. I mean, it's distorted psychology, but it's some kind of an attempt. But in Christianity, it's the most primitive thing, because Christianity is just a belief in a man God, and they think that's all there is to it. I'm serious. That's it. It is the distilled essence of Avodah Zarah. Basically, that's what it is. There's nothing with any kind of perfection, nothing with any kind of recognition of man as problems in this. It's like a simplistic, completely simplistic solution of just believing in a man God, and that's it. They're saved. See? That is the ultimate primitive. It is the stupidest of all the religions. And, you know, real, seriously. I mean, Hindu, you look at the studies on other religions. They recognize the problems you have to deal with. They have methods, approaches, what have like the intellectual approach, the, you know, these other religions. But they recognize there's a problem there. Okay? And when they look at their pestle, like the Rambam says, it's a, what do you call it? It's a tzelem. It's a tzelem. It's some kind of a reflection of some kind of a an idea or in terms of, I don't mean a real idea. I mean a notion, I should say. It's a notion. It's not a notion, a power, force, whatever it might be, okay? But this is the ultimate, the ultimate reduction to the primitive. The ultimate. There's like nothing there. I mean, just that's it. Oh, there's no doubt. Well, you know, I mean, so he wrote like this. He says that where does Christianity have the most success? Where have the most success? Among the primitive tribes. That's right. He says we have the greatest success among the natives that have ancestor worship. And all the magic and sorcery and superstition. So he says, that's where the church has the greatest success. So he says, that shows you that these people have a very religious, rich religious, rich, that's one of the big words, rich religious, inner life. You say. I mean, that is precisely... That's the idea of Osatuma. That's exactly what it is. I mean, the Novi, around Dor Enosh, was a sophisticated kind of a thing. This is pure primitivism. Okay. There's one thing I wanted to add. I mean,
it's not
plugged in yet. Okay, let's go. So there's one thing I wanted, and that is that I think is extremely important. I'm sorry I overlooked it, but. The thing is, when I said to look into life's experiences, I only spoke in terms of external events. But there's a more important dimension here. And that dimension is that many times, very many times, and something which is an untoward event is a vehicle for a person to be chozer b'tshuva and to reach a higher level. That's what a person always forgets about. You understand what I mean? A person always looks to a thing, whether it's gratifying or whether it's painful, okay? But the painful situation, many times, is a greater vehicle for perfection than the gratifying situation. You see, because it causes a person to think into himself. You see, batzalacha metzucha kol advar meila. Odchad Hashem tini sani. I mean, this is something which a person always overlooks. And there, so you have to look into events not just in terms of the external, but in terms of how it affects you internally. You see, when something affects you internally, it causes you to you lose your bearings, you have to find them again. And many times, if you search properly, you'll be able to find yourself and find your bearings on a totally different plane, a plane which is a much higher one. That's what people really overlook.